before I read this text from the Gospel of John, I want to offer this prayer. It's actually a quote from Proverbs chapter 3. Just let this statement kind of wash over you. Let it sink in as we prepare to hear this passage about the Good Shepherd. Proverbs reads this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Listen to this text. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." It's true. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from that stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this metaphor of speech, or this figure of speech, with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them, kind of like perhaps we don't understand right now. "So again, Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and who will come in and go out, and those folks will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly.'" The word of the Lord. So I'm going to talk about trust a little bit. You hit it, got a feel for that. But I'm going to get about to that topic in kind of a roundabout way. I've been coming and going these days. I don't know if you've been tracking and talking to me. Maybe a few of you have. I just got back from a family wedding in Oregon City, Oregon, outside of Portland. That's where I was last weekend. I'm here with you now, and next weekend I'll be in San Diego. It's been an interesting experience. Flying. I'm learning a lot about flying. I'm learning a lot about transportation, getting here and there, and trying to get to the airport and back from the airport and catch your plane and so forth. You know how it goes. You know the drill. But one thing I just learned is something about Uber. How many of you have gone on Uber? A few? Just a few. All right. So after I get done talking about Uber, some of you might be encouraged and some of you might stay away from it. I don't know. My first experience with Uber happened just last week when Heather and I were trying to fly out of Charlottesville. Notice the word "trying" to fly out of Charlottesville. We had just taxied out to the tarmac. We were that far. I just put in my earphones. I was drifting off to sleep. And when I opened my eyes, I was back at the terminal. Somehow there was something wrong. They said it was hydraulic failure. That sounds pretty bad, actually, doesn't it? And so, after rebooking my flight and figuring out what to do and booking the flight for the next morning, we used an Uber driver. We figured out how to do that to take us back to our parked car. Now, I want to set the scene for all of you. Here's what happened on the day we were trying to fly out of town. Imagine now your flight has been canceled. All right? You thought you would be in the air by now. You thought, but you're still on the ground. You're tired. You're hungry. A travel agent keeps announcing over the PA system that now you will need to dial a 1-800 number to rebook your flight. But in the same breath, she says, "But it might be possible this plane could get fixed and it could take off. But you'll need to rebook, but the plane might get fixed." The sheep become restless. All around in the terminal there at Charlottesville, the sheep begin to stir. Some in the flock are staying in nice straight lines pushing forward toward the ticket counter while others are jumping the fence. There's a lot of baaing going on, a lot of loud baaing. Some of the sheep are headed toward the escalator. Some are out of there. Some seem astray. Some are very frustrated. You look around, you find out you're not alone. You are as bewildered as everyone else in the terminal. And as you exit the terminal, you feel sufficiently herded. That's how I felt. You've had it up to here with flight delays. You've had it up to here with going through metal detectors and taking your belt off and your shoes and forgetting your belt at the TSA section and going back and going through it again and discovering your flight is canceled. You've had it. You've reached the end of your patience when out of the blue, the shepherd arrives. It's a shepherd in a beautiful car. He jumps out. He's dressed to the nines. He's in a beautiful suit. He takes your luggage. He says, "Come in. Let me listen to your story." We get in the car. He's an ex-Marine. I would call him a transportation therapist. He loves his job. He tells you it is his mission in life to help people like you out of a jam. And so when he offers to pick you up at 5:15 a.m. the next morning and take you back to the airport, you feel like crying. You can't believe it. And the next morning, there he is. The door is open. He's there ahead of you. He says, "Good morning, Sister Heather. Good morning, Pastor Ken. It's so good to see you again." And so, on our second attempt to fly out of Charlottesville, there isn't a third, but on our second attempt, after the wheels had lifted off the ground, Nancy Paulson was on that flight, by the way, so we chatted about it. After we had lifted off the ground, I found myself writing an article, and I want to share it with you. It's called, "The Lord is My Uber Driver, Reflections on the Church's Role in the 21st Century." Maybe we can learn something. "The Lord is my Uber driver. When I go searching for a way home or a way to my next destination, God always accepts my request. God is always on the way to where I am. Upon pulling up to the curb I'm standing on, God jumps out, dressed to the nines. Both driver and passenger become community as long as that ride lasts. Blessing goes both ways." Like that moment when a passenger uses his or her iPhone app to summon a driver at any time or day or night, the church must also be vigilant, be flexible, responding to the needs of individuals at any time of day or night. Like passengers standing on a street corner at midnight, I think people who come to worship on Sunday seek the security and the hope that God will deliver them out of a tight spot. If we run out of gas, if we need a ride in the rain, if things don't turn out as planned, if we are consumed by grief and worry, the church becomes our ride home. And by the way, when God accepts our invitation for a pickup, God doesn't quite know how far this journey will take. Remember, grace is unconditional. No tip necessary. Like an Uber driver waiting for us in front of our house at 5:15 a.m., the church arrives early, waits late, and takes us at our word. God knows we will show up eventually. My Uber driver refers to me as Pastor Ken and my wife as Sister Heather. The church is always willing and ready to accept anyone as family. The Lord is our Uber driver. God will not forget to pick us up. Neither will God leave us standing on a street corner lost in grief. Therefore, the church, as God's instrument of grace, must make itself available, even when it's inconvenient. And so when a stranger or a friend asks us for a lift, requesting a ride toward the abundant life, the church will always respond where to. When summoned, the church shows up. That was my Uber experience. After the early service, a lot of people wanted his phone number. Wouldn't you? Such a gracious person. For a moment, I want you to reflect on the church's mission and purpose. Think about our mission and purpose. Think about the church's track record in responding to those who are hungry, who are hungering for God or hungering for security, hungering for healing, seeking the abundant life. Do we go to where they are? That's my question. Does the church go to where people are? Do we follow through on loving and accepting others and keeping our promises, or are those just words? When someone summons us, when the church is summoned, do we show up? Now, that's what I've learned a little bit about Uber drivers, and maybe a lot of you know more about this than I do, and their passengers, that when we request a ride, it then is an act of faith that that person will actually come and get us, right? We're not sure. But when they do, we're so relieved. We are so relieved. Trust is essential between Uber drivers and their passengers. In John 10, I was struck by how trusting these sheep are. Did you hear how it works there? When the leader calls to them, calls to the sheep, they go into the sheep pen. And when the leader calls them out of the pen, the sheep follow his or her voice. They put their trust, whether it's going into a place of safety or into a place of danger, out into the world, whether it's going into a place where they can shut the door and be all together, or a place where the door is wide open, into unknown territory. A lot of trust there. Do you trust me? The shepherd calls to the sheep. Do you trust where I am leading you? God calls to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says to his disciples. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust. I realize these days, and I feel this in myself, is that sometimes it is hard to trust people. It's hard. It's difficult. In the past, someone may have broken our trust. A pastor, a leader, a politician, a colleague, a friend, a spouse, a child, someone we thought we trusted. And yet, all faith, the faith we show here and faith we show in people, is based on trust. And perhaps a very small way, a very small step toward trusting again is to try again. I know to rebuild trust, there's a lot of other things involved, like forgiveness, forgiving that person, forgiving yourself, time to heal. It takes a lot of work to rebuild trust, but part of that is this very small step, and that is to try again. And so that's what I did. Right in the middle of the sermon, I stopped writing the sermon, and I texted my favorite person last week, my Uber driver. This is Pastor Ken at Westminster Presbyterian Church. Remember me? Are you available to pick me up at the same place this Wednesday, May 10th, at 4:45 a.m.? Really appreciated your service last time. Moments later, he texts me back. Hello, Pastor Ken. I hope your trip and the wedding went well. I too appreciated providing you service. You and your wife were a great blessing to me. I am available on the 10th at 4:45 a.m. I will see you there. I hope you and Sister Heather have a blessed weekend. Now you want his number, don't you? But isn't that the church's role? Isn't that our role? That when someone is in need and standing on a street corner, out in the rain, or maybe their flight got canceled, the church shows up. We show up. On Communion Sundays, this is where God shows up. This is where the community of faith comes. We come to this table to learn again what it means to trust in God and to trust in one another. We come here and we take this bread. Maybe we have some doubts about this bread, and we take this cup and maybe we're skeptical. But communion is an act of faith. It is an act of building our trust. Listen to my voice, God calls to us from this table. I will be with you. I will show up. I will walk beside you and before you and behind you and in front of you from this time forward forevermore. Amen.